rainbow, you know you set me free. And I just can't get enough, and I just can't get enough. You're like an angel and you give me your love. And I just can't seem to get enough.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books Youth Radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, ACRA, Catskill, Hudson, and beyond. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Jada. I'm in Florida, where it's too muggy for me, and I'm 13.
And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate, and bookish things.
And that's what we're going to do today, because that's what we do every week.
Jazz hands.
That you can't see on the radio.
But that's okay, because we told you what we were doing.
You can feel them. Feel them out there in the radio land. But yeah, we might be joined by our friend Fatia later. We're not sure. Always a surprise. Will Fatia join us? We love when she does. But in the meantime, we're going to talk. And yes, as Jada noted, we're in very different climates at the moment. We've been experiencing some snow up north, and Jada has not been experiencing snow down south. Do you miss it?
I miss being in it. I don't miss having to clean up after it.
I don't want to jinx us, but this recent one wasn't too bad. Like when I shoveled, it went very quickly. I was pleasantly surprised, but I'm not sure if everyone had that experience. Yeah, so we're going to talk about some books. I have not accomplished much reading since our last show. I'm still reading the Hunger Games prequel book. Still enjoying
it. How is it so far? Is it true to, you know, the whole story of everything?
I'm enjoying
the feel of the Hunger Games?
Yeah, I would say it's true to the feel of the Hunger Games. It's a little bit different because it's following Snow's character when he was a young man and being a mentor for a person in the Hunger Games. So it's a different perspective because you're getting more of the capital experience.
And also I'd guess that it was slightly earlier, so maybe all the Hunger Games upsetness hasn't quite sunk into everyone fully. Like maybe some, but not maybe all of it. I don't know. Just guessing. I didn't want to read the book.
Yeah, I wasn't sure if I did either, but then I got convinced to try it. So unfortunately, because I just got the book at the library today, so I'm hoping that'll speed up my reading because I've just been listening to the audiobook. But it's definitely been like a slow moving listen, but partially because I'm also reading other things. But I've been a bad Bound by Books co-host because I've been reading things that are either picture books, so they're a little younger than we usually talk about, or I've also read like an adult graphic novel, which is maybe a little too violent and scary for our age range that we usually share books about. But I can mention that one though, because I think it would be fine for the majority of teenagers, and I think it's fine for adults. It's a series called Something is Killing the Children. As you can tell, it'd probably be not the best bet for, or best match for somebody that's sensitive to violence and monsters and such. So it's a comic series by James Tinian IV, and it has illustrations by Werther De Ladera, and Miguel Morato is the colorist. And this series primarily follows a person named Erica Slaughter, who is a monster hunter, and they are trying to stop these horrific creatures that prey upon children and adults as well, but they cannot be seen by the adults. And they're pretty horrific creatures. And yeah, there's a lot of blood and death, and can be disturbing if you're sensitive to that content. I mean, for me, it's so fantastical that it doesn't read as like a true, like if it was about a war zone or something like that, it would be more upsetting for me. But because it's monsters, I'm able to like not really, I don't know.
I'm more easily grossed out by typical gross stuff instead of fighting. It's intense for me, but I feel that it's easier to read it instead of watch it, because I can kind of, you know, I imagine what's happening in my mind, so it's easier for me to tone down the intensity unless it's very mm-hmm. descriptive.
Yeah, well, this is a graphic novel, so there are pictures, but I find it an interesting story. I like the storytelling, and I like the characters, and then it's like enough, there's some action and some like other elements of the story that make it interesting and keep it moving. But what's unfortunate is I've been reading this, you know, volume at a time over the past year or so, you know, not every month or every week. I haven't been like binging it. I've been sort of slowly reading it, and I finally caught up where there's no volume out that I can borrow. I think there's individual issues that I could get through like Hoopla, but I like to read things in a bigger, you know, like a collection of issues together. So I'm just gonna have to wait until the next one comes out. But yeah, so that's definitely more for adults. I think it'd be okay for some teens, at least from my recollection of it. But anyways, I have some books that I could share the descriptions of that are coming out soon. Or in some cases, they're already out, actually. Two of them are already out. One is coming soon, that I think sound really exciting and I think people will be interested in. So I have three books that I'll share the descriptions for. They're all for ages 8 to 12, or that's the suggested age group. And two of them have connections with other books. So I'll start with the ones that are already out. So one is a book called Break by Kayla Miller. It's one of her Click graphic novel books, which we've often talked about on this show. So there was Click, Camp, Act, Clash, and Crunch. And so now it's Break. This is book 6. And here's the description. Olive is less than excited to be spending spring break stuck with her dad. Will she be able to make the most of her trip, or will everything break apart? Spring break is full of possibilities, but not for Olive. This year, Olive is leaving her friends and all of their exciting vacation plans behind to visit her dad at his new apartment in the city. Goober is thrilled to spend a whole week with their father and has a long list of activities for their time together. Olive, on the other hand, still remembers the hurt of their dad moving halfway across the world. She would rather spend time with her friend Bree or scrolling through her new phone to keep up with everything she's missing back home than catch up with him. As the week winds on, the normally easygoing Olive finds feelings of loneliness and resentment throwing her out of whack. Is there any hope of salvaging the visit, or will Olive's spring break be a spring bust? So for fans of that series, which there are many. I like that,
spring break or spring bust.
Yeah.
I'm going to say that now.
Yeah. But I think I've only read one of these books. Our friend Georgia has read them all, and I'm sure either has read this already or will be excited to. But it's a very popular series. And I think Kayla Miller is somewhat local. She lives in the Hudson Valley. I can't remember if it's happened yet, but I think the Claverick Library is having her visit, or recently had her visit. Can't remember if it's happened. So if you're a fan of Kayla Miller and you want to meet the author, you should look up Claverick Library events and see if that's still on the horizon. But yeah, if you haven't checked out the series and you like middle grade setting graphic novels, you might really enjoy the series. The other book that is already out that I wanted to share is a novel, again, for ages 8 to 12. And it's called The Curse of Eelgrass Bog. And it's by Mary Averling. And here's the description for this one. Dark secrets and unnatural magic abound when a 12-year-old girl ventures into a bog full of monsters to break a mysterious curse. Nothing about Kes Pedrock's life is normal. Not her home. She lives in her family's unnatural history museum. Not her interests, hunting for megafauna fossils and skeletons. And not her best friend. a talking demon's head in a jar named Shrunken Jim. But things get even stranger than usual when Kes meets Lilu Starling, the new girl in town. Lilu comes to Kes for help breaking a mysterious curse, and the only clue she has leads straight into the center of Eelgrass Bog. Everyone knows the bog is full of witches, demons, and possibly worse, but Kes and Lilu are determined not to let that stop them. As they investigate the mystery and uncover long-buried secrets, Kes begins to realize that the curse might hit closer to home than she'd expected, and she'll have to summon all her courage to find a way to break it before it's too late. That's the curse of Eelgrass Bog. I wonder what their unnatural history museum is like. Curious the scope of it. Like, is it a huge museum, a little museum? I think her interests seem pretty cool. Searching for fossils.
And not my thing. I'm more of an indoorsy person that goes outdoors when the weather is completely unideal for 99% of people. I want to go swimming when the waves are 10 feet tall, but I can't because Mom says I know. But it's surfer's paradise out there. So fun. I hate swimming when the water is calm, which is why I started to like oceans more than pools. Which is why I love wave pools. Whoever invented those is amazing. They're awesome.
Yeah. So you do like outdoorsy stuff sometimes.
Yes, but I like to say mostly indoors.
Yeah. I bet this person has some indoor time too. Because you find all your stuff and then you have to like, you know, sort of clean it up and like research it. I don't know. Curious what else they do. Anyways, that one was The Curse of Eelgrass Bog by Mary Averling. So that one's already out as well. And the last one that I wanted to share is a follow-up to, or a companion novel, I should say, to The Night Diary by Veera Hiranandani. And this one is called A Meal in the After. And it comes out January 23rd. So not too long of a wait for this one. So here's the description. A hopeful and heartwarming story about finding joy after tragedy, A Meal in the After is a companion to the beloved and award-winning Newbery Honor novel, The Night Diary, by acclaimed author Veera Hiranandani. At the turn of the new year in 1948, Emil and his family are trying to make a home in India, now independent of British rule. Both Muslim and Hindu, 12-year-old Emil is not sure what home means anymore. The memory of the long and difficult journey from their hometown in what is now Pakistan lives with him. And despite having an apartment in Bombay to live in and a school to attend, life in India feels uncertain. Nisha, his twin sister, suggests that Emil begin to tell his story through drawings meant for their mother, who died when they were just babies. Through Emil, readers witness the unwavering spirit of a young boy trying to make sense of a chaotic world and find hope for himself and a newly reborn nation. That's A Meal in the After by Veera Hiranandani. And so it's going to be coming out January 23rd. I'm excited to read that. I really enjoyed The Night Diary. And I think the history of the partition of India into Pakistan, India. Yeah, I think that history is very interesting. And I don't think I learned much about it when I was a kid. I think I learned most
history
of partition in India and Pakistan.
I don't think I've learned much of history, period, until recently.
Yeah. So that's why I like when there's historic fiction that helps introduce people to periods of time or places that they may not have learned much about in school or through other learning experiences. So yeah, I'm definitely going to check that one out. Keeping an eye out for when it comes through the library. And I'm pretty sure, I can't remember, I think Veera Hiranandani came to the book festival one year as well.
Oh, hi, Fatia.
Hi.
Fatia joined us. Yay. So I just wrapped up talking about some books that were coming out that I thought sounded good. And I think we're going to pass it off to Jada now to talk about whatever you wanted to talk about today.
Since I've had this book for a while, it's a Roald Dahl treasury. So it has all sorts of little snippets of Roald Dahl stuff in it. I love Roald Dahl. He's one of my most favorite authors. And he's had such an interesting backstory too, which I find incredible. For those of you who might not know this, he was a RAF pilot, fighter pilot during World War II. He was like an incredible person, and he did incredible things, and then he wrote amazing children's books. So I'd say he's a pretty amazing person. And this is a treasury of all of the little things that he wrote, like excerpts from books and stuff, poems, stuff about him, personal information, stuff like that.
So it's not his novels, it's like other, like shorter pieces.
Yeah, it's more like shorter stories and excerpts, but I like it because you can browse through it and kind of do one like a story a day kind of thing.
Do you have a favorite book that you've read by him?
I don't. I like all his books.
I don't actually think I've read that much by him. I've read some, and I've seen some of the movie adaptations. I think my favorite movie adaptation is The Fabulous Mr. Fox. And I think it's hard because I've read them like some of them I read when I was a kid, some I read as an adult, so it's a very different experience. But I think James and the Giant Peach I read as a kid or had it read to me as a kid, I think in school. And that one's kind of really stuck with me all these years. So I think that might be my favorite, but I could be convinced otherwise. So do you think this book is good for everyone or just people that are fans of his work? Like, is it more?
I think it's a good for everyone, but since some of the stuff in there I think is kind of, weird, I just let a parent look at it before reading it to their little kids. But just besides that, it's pretty good for everyone. Yeah, it's very funny.
I think they've changed it. So, back when I was in grad school, I had to do some like check out these children's book author like websites or like learn about these authors and like, yeah, check out their websites and like sort of do a report on like what you find there and stuff like that. And the Roald Dahl site used to have this like weird chicken animation that would like pop up randomly and make this really annoying noise. It was like just such an odd choice for a website. I remember thinking it was really funny. But now I'm like, am I on the wrong page? Was it not his website? But maybe they just adjusted their design. Anyways, that sounds like a cool book. Glad you enjoy it. Fatia, what did you want to share today?
I want to share, I'm not sure if I read this book already, but it's called The Secret Base. Once upon a time, there lived a family. The family had one sister, her name was Rosa, and there was also a big brother named James. Then there were the mom and dad. James and Rosa were unstoppable. They would always play together. They would play hide and seek. Patty cake, they were old. Until one day they started school. James met some new friends and started to hang out with them like crazy, while Rosa made no friends. Then, when they came home, Rosa asked James, can we play hide and seek, please? James responded in an angry voice, what do you think? I have to play with my new BFFs. I am sorry for asking, Big Brother, says Rosa, while she closes the door. A few years later, James keeps on repeating the process over and over again, while Rosa gets seriously ill. And then one day, their mom and dad had to take Rosa to urgent care. When James found out, he turned back to normal. A few weeks later, Rosa was not ill anymore. Sis, I am so sorry. Please forgive me. I will never do that again. Now you have learned your lesson, they all said together. From that day on, they were unstoppable once again and built themselves a secret base. The end.
What's the secret base?
It's like a base where they hide and eat snacks and like just play together at the time.
Do you have like a mental image of what it looks like? Like, is it more of a fort or like a hand, like a fort made out of sheets, or is it like more of a real structure?
Like a mansion or an estate.
Fancy base.
That's made of gold and diamonds.
Wow. Sparkly.
And a lot of glitter.
That sounds lovely. Sparkly secret base. Is it hard to keep it a secret when it's so large and sparkly?
Yeah, it's hidden. There's an invisible door.
Oh, that's cool. Wow. Thanks for sharing your story.
You're welcome.
Jada, did you have anything else you wanted to share today? Or
that was pretty much it. I also haven't been doing that much reading lately, trying to catch up with schoolwork and stuff.
Cool. Well, before we go, I'll read a quick poem since we've had our first real snow of the season that I can remember at least. So I'm just going to read the first part of it. It's a two-part poem. This is by Claude McKay. It's called The Snow Fairy, and it's from Harlem Shadows, 1922. So this is The Snow Fairy, and it's the first part. Throughout the afternoon, I watched them there, snow fairies falling from the sky, whirling fantastic in the misty air, contending fierce for space supremacy. And they flew down a mightier force at night, as though in heaven there was revolt and riot, and they, frail things, had taken panic flight down to the calm earth seeking peace and quiet. I went to bed and rose at early dawn to see them huddled together in a heap, each merged into the other upon the lawn, worn out by sharp struggle, fast asleep. The sun shone brightly on them half the day. By night, they stealthily had stolen away. That's the first part of a poem called The Snow Fairy by Claude McKay that I found on poetryfoundation.org. So if people want to read the whole poem, they can check it out there. They have a whole bunch of wintry poems. Seems nice. Okay, so earlier I was talking about the Kayla Miller book that recently came out, and I mentioned there might be an event at the Claverick Free Library, but I wasn't sure when it was, so I looked it up, and so I can share that info. So
unfortunately, I can't do this. I'm going to be somewhere else tomorrow. We're actually going to go to Universal Studios, which I'm very excited about. We've been waiting forever, but it's also a 4-hour drive, so wish us luck.
Cool, good luck. But yeah, for those of us that are in the area this weekend, so there's going to be it's an exhibit, so it's called Panel to Panel, a group graphic artist exhibit at the Claverick Free Library. And I assume this is just the opening time. I'm not sure how long the exhibit is up for. So that you'll have to reach out to Claverick to find out. But it's listed as Saturday, January 13th from 12 to 2 p.m. And the description says, join us for a colorful exhibit of original works by local published graphic artists Barbara Slate, Kayla Miller, Emily Ree, and Kit Frazier. The artists will be on hand to discuss their work, and books will be available for purchase, suitable for all ages. So if you want to check that out, if you're listening to this on Friday night as opposed to Sunday morning, go ahead and check it out. So again, that's at the Claverick Free Library, Claverick, New York. You can find out more info at clavericklibrary.org. And yeah, so we're just about out of time for today, but we hope everyone out there listening has a great week filled with lots of quality reading time, and we'll be back next week to talk about some more books. Happy reading.
Bye.
Who can turn the world on with a smile? Who can take a nothing day and suddenly make it all seem